Hey, hey, we are back, continuing our series on mastering the production of a fashion show, that is. We're in the midst of an 11-part series, and today we're on part 8. Today, we are spotlighting stage coordination in fashion. Okay, this is very key because this is where it's all going down for the fashion show. All right, so this episode is probably going to be a little bit short and sweet because it's just very to the point about what needs to happen around stage management. So let's get into the show. I'm excited to talk to you today. Welcome on into the room. You're listening to Marketing Adventure, the hub for business, fashion, marketing, and other CTE educators who integrate marketing into the learning experience. I'm your host, Jackie Walker. Each week, I'll cover marketing education concepts, strategies, tips, trends, frameworks, and other information to equip you to connect your classroom to digital natives while cultivating an engaged learning environment. So come on into the room where your favorite beverage, snacks, and even your cell phone are all welcome. So let's get it started in here. Let's get it started in here. Yeah. All right, let's get started. Talking about stage coordination. We are going to cover 5 areas for stage coordination. There could be more. Always there could be more. There could be less. Just depending on who it is that's producing the fashion show. I'm going off of my 12 years of experience in fashion show production and 12 shows that I've produced, student-led fashion show production. So let's get into it. I'm covering 5 areas. They're going to be music, props, the stage setting, runway, and capturing the show. Let's go. First of all, let's talk about music. This is a very key for the show because, look, you don't want your models walking out there with no music, okay? We even have to do music selection even before we even start the actual working on the production of the show because we need music for our model call. Now you may be thinking like, how do you all come up with the music that you're going to use? It's simple. I let the students decide. The students know what their theme is and they are in tune with the latest music. And of course, teachers, you have to monitor this because they tried to slip one in on me one time. I didn't catch it. And they're like, Ms. Walker, you don't hear that? I'm like, hear what? And I listened and I was like, why you didn't tell me that was in there? Okay, I'm not going to tell you the song, but it had an inappropriate word in there. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I did have to censor the music. But anyway, so the students decide, you know, after they determine what their theme is going to be, they start giving suggestions of songs that they think would fit well with the show. If it's designer focused, of course, we allow the designer to give us an idea of what songs they would like their collection to be showcased on. And so we would use that designer's suggestion as well as suggestions from the marketing class to determine the music. But if it wasn't a designer focused show, then of course the marketing students had, you know, free range of whatever they thought would fit well with the fashion show. So we had to have music for our model call and then we had to have music for the fashion show. For the model call, basically the stage coordinator would just look for upbeat tunes that would help the models with walking. A lot of people don't know this, but the model does not have to walk to the beat of the music. And that's something that we had to teach. It's not like they had to be sitting here just walking like with every beat of the music. No, they just get out there and walk. And the music is just the motivator. Okay. And it helps set the tone of the show. So first of all, they needed to create a playlist for the fashion show model call. That's one thing. And then they had to create a playlist for the actual show. And of course, like I said, the designer would have input. The fashion show production team would have some input because, of course, if they were working with a designer, they had to work with that designer to come up with some music for their collection. But as a whole, there would be suggestions. If it wasn't a designer-focused show, there would be suggestions for the type of music. And the stage coordinator would be the one responsible for going out and sourcing the music and putting a playlist together and handing it over to the teacher so it can be scrubbed and cleaned or clean versions found of that music. All right. So that's the music. Now, at the time of the show, we would have to determine whether we were going to use recordings and just play them. I mean, we've done this a number of ways. The equipment in our auditorium at our school, old. Okay. We used to play it through that equipment until we had issues. And then we had to bring in our own laptop and speakers, and play them through our speakers. And we would just have an assigned person sitting there, start and stopping the music, for each segment. And then there are times when we had a DJ. And that's when we really had some money for the show, right? We had a DJ that would come in and he had our playlist and he would, you know, play the music that he acquired because DJs have licensed music access. And so he would play the music through his player and just add that little flair to the show by having a live DJ to play the music for our show. So that's music. Music is not too hard. You make a decision, you acquire the music, you put it in a playlist, and you play it. That's music. The next area is props. Props were fun. Props were challenging. Props are everything. Props. Let's talk about that. What are props? Props are anything that's in addition to the outfit and the model being on stage. Anything that's on stage and it's not the model wearing an outfit is a prop. Okay, so props could be handheld. Props could be stationary or fixed in a certain position on stage. Props could be movable. So let's talk about the different types. Handheld, what could be handheld? We really didn't have handheld props in our shows, actually. But I did see some fashion shows, especially with Fit'em out in California, where the designers collaborated with, I don't know if it was graphic design or if interior design. That's what it was. They collaborated with interior design and the interior designers created like furniture pieces that the models would, I wouldn't want to say they engaged with it, but it coordinated with the collection for this particular designer. And that was pretty cool. And then I think it may have been graphic design as well. There was a time when they created guitars that the models walked out with as a prop. And so that those are the type of props that fit a theme that the model could actually either carry or be coordinated with. But like I said, we didn't really do any props that had to be held. Purses are accessories. They're not necessarily props. When you think about props, they're just like inanimate objects that are, you know, that enhance an environment. And they can be functional, meaning they move and can be a part of the movement of a display or a fashion show. Or they're non-functional. They are just stationary. It could be a plant that's sitting on the stage. It could be, I don't know, a block that's just an object sitting there to add depth or, you know, whatever they're trying to convey with that theme. But also functional props are things like lights and things that actually enhance the environment. If they weren't there, then, you know, things may not look quite right or perform quite right. All right. So those are your types of props. And you got your stationary props. Like I said, things that are just sitting there that are not meant to move or really do anything. Okay. So in the whole process of adding props to your show, they have to be developed. So, or acquired. So let's talk about the development portion. For us, we've had various props over the years. We had our circus themed fashion show where there was the backdrop that was dropped down. That wasn't necessarily a prop, that was a backdrop. But we also had animals created by our construction and our architecture clusters. They created these like big wooden animals. Those were props. Those sat on the stage and they never moved. They were a part of the whole show, not just a segment. So we had to get those created. So I suggest that if you have props that you need to have created, look at the resources that you have on your campus. Do you have a construction department? My school is a magnet school. We had over 18 magnet programs. So we had construction, we had HVAC, we had architecture, audiovisual, all these different magnet programs that we used as a part of our development of the things that we needed for our show. So look at that. Many schools have an art department that may be willing to create a prop for your show that you may need. So look at those various departments that you have on campus that can assist in the development of these props. So also consider parents. We've had parents to create things because maybe they worked in construction, maybe they were an architect, or various trades that they may have. Maybe they're just handy. They like to create things. So look at the parents because they are a great resource in helping to create props. And then look at what you have in your class. Because my class was so big and we did fashion shows year after year, we continued to compile resources in our classroom, leftover things, or we reuse things, you know, and use them in a different way. Painted them, did whatever we need to do to make them fit our current fashion show. So look at your classroom and see what you have around it. So that's the development part of props. Let's look at acquisition. Acquisition outside of developing them yourself means that you have to source them from somewhere, whether you're paying for them or whether they're being donated. So donations are the main thing to look at because funds are few and far between. As a matter of fact, your fashion show likely is a fundraiser. So you look for donations. You can look at organizations that may donate things that you need in the creation of your fashion show, or maybe they already have something that's already created that you would like to use, and maybe that you can borrow it, or they may just simply donate it. I tell you, organizations love to donate things to schools. We had a clothing store locally in Dallas, and I don't even recall the connection to that relationship. I think it was a lady came into our class and spoke to the class, and she knew someone that worked for this corporation, and that person reached out to me and said, "Hey, we're getting new mannequins for our stores or for our corporate office." And you know, in the corporate office, they have a setting where they dress the mannequins and do, you know, a sample of what it's going to look like in the store. So they were getting new mannequins and they donated like several mannequins to us. And that was a blessing. I was like, that was our first time having male mannequins. We didn't have any male mannequins prior to that. And I was able to get, I think it was like 3 or 4 half male mannequins. I'm like, and then real store like mannequins. I'm like, okay, you know, so donations from organizations that are local to you, don't hesitate to reach out to a fashion company, a corporation, especially if you have a big corporation, like we have JCPenney, Haggar, you know, Fossil. We have all these major corporations that are headquartered locally here, and they love to help out student organizations. All right. So think about that when you're acquiring props for your show. So there may be a theatrical company. There may be stage production company, maybe they're getting rid of things that they no longer need that are outdated, and they may want to donate those to you. So definitely check those places out. Also, look at retail. You might have to spend a little money to get some of the props that you needed. You may have to go shop at Home Depot to buy some things that you needed. You may have to, you know, shop at a prop shop. You never know. So that's another way that you can acquire the things that you need. So with props, you can either develop them yourself, getting your resources from wherever you can get them from, or to acquire them by purchasing them or through donation. Hey, adventurous educator, I just want to take a quick break. I have a program that will be available in the fall of 2024. It will provide a scope of resources to help you create and implement a successful fashion show. It's something I've wanted to do for years, because a fashion show has so many moving parts. And of course, when you're managing students who are responsible for implementing the show, it really is a project management responsibility. Now, this program will contain video and audio modules, as well as a project management framework, proprietary documents for management in all areas of the responsibilities, signature model call framework, an outline for creating your fashion show Bible, a media kit framework, real examples of my productions, and highlights of my student-led fashion shows, and so much more. Now stay tuned for the early bird invitation to access the program. I look forward to having you access that. And I also look forward to hearing about your fashion show productions and seeing them on Instagram. So be sure to connect with me at Marketing Adventure so I can see all of the wonderful work that you're doing with your program. So we talked about music and props. Let's talk about the stage, the actual stage. As I said before, we've always had our fashion shows in the auditorium at our high school. And the stage, that school is over 50 years old, okay? So a lot of stuff was outdated, but we worked with it. We worked with it. And with stage, you have to look at the lighting. You have to look at the decorations that will be around the stage, the audio, your mic, and the on-site equipment that's there, your curtains, and your stage equipment. So let's talk about the lighting. We worked with the lighting that was in the auditorium that were managed by the system that we had. So you can use that, especially if it's up to date. It could be adequate. A lot of times, well, I'm not going to say, for the majority of the shows, all of the shows that we had, we used the lighting in the auditorium. We didn't use any additional lighting. And over the years, the quality of that declined. And we had lights that went out. And let me tell you, it's hard to get a light replaced in the auditorium when it's 40 feet up in the air in, you know, the top of the auditorium. Not talking about the lights that are on the stage, but the lights that are like out in that area in front of the stage where our runway piece would be. Yeah, it was hard to get them to change that lighting up there. It was old. It was outdated. But anyhow, so your stage lighting will most likely be the lighting that you're using in the auditorium. However, you could acquire or rent lighting that would provide more lighting or spotlighting to the area in which your stage is set, your one runway is set. So just look at that. You may have to use what you have in your auditorium or the facility that you're using, or you can go out and acquire additional lighting that will be more of a focus and spotlight on the runway in which your fashion show will be. Just consider the cost. If you can't get it, donate it. Okay, that's lighting. Decorations are, we would fix up our stage to represent the theme of the show, whether we had stars hanging down from the poles that are at the top of the stage, whether we had decoration going along the front of the stage, what have you. Decorations, whether they were on the sides, where the stairs are leading up to the stage, decorations are needed to bring the stage to life for your fashion show. We've done a lot of things over the years to decorate and bring the stage to life. So that's something that the stage manager and the team will have to consider when they're getting the stage set for the fashion show. Audio. They're responsible for audio. Again, a very antiquated system was in our high school. So sometimes we did have to use an external speaker, which was, you know, you plug the speaker in for the energy and it projects out to the audience, as opposed to the speaker system that was already set in place in the auditorium, because it was so old, there would be issues with the sound quality. The playing of the music could only go so high before there was static or what have you on the speaker. So that's something that you would need to look into to actually play your music in that facility to see what the sound quality is like, and determine if you need to use external speakers. Those external speakers are not very big, but they put out a lot of sound and high quality sound. So that's something to consider. And as always, with your microphone, whether you're using a remote microphone or a plug-in microphone, definitely that's something that needs to be a part of the stage manager's responsibility to attain. Ours was from our school. We had to check it out from our custodial staff, because they were the maintainer of the mic, because we had several mics and only ended up with one. And our supervisor of the custodial staff was like, you have to check this mic out and check it back in. So definitely you have to look at your audio. And then the curtains, like, who's going to work the curtains? We had curtains in our auditorium, and we did have someone who was designated to pull the curtains closed and to open the curtains when the fashion show would begin. And so the stage manager is over the team that oversees that task for the fashion show. And you have to make sure that you set the marks, because you don't always need the curtains to open up all the way. You only need them to open up a bit, you know, enough for the models to come out and for the backdrop and the props and everything that you want to set the tone for the show to be seen. So that's a key management portion of the show. It may seem like a small task, but it is an important task, because if the curtains don't open, then it does not create a good flow for the fashion show. And if the curtains open up too far, then it disrupts the scene, the setting for the show. Very key part. They're also responsible for the stage equipment, and that's just anything. It could be where the sound and audio come through and the lighting goes through. That's just a responsibility for all of the equipment and management of those things on the stage that the stage manager is responsible for. Now, sometimes we solicited the assistance of the theater team or the theater class to come in, because the stage is their baby. I mean, that's where they have their productions several times a year. And so they are very familiar with the equipment, with the workings, and everything that has to do with the stage. So a lot of times we would solicit their assistance to play those key roles in managing the audio, the curtain, the lighting, and all of that. So that is stage setting development. Very key. Now let's get into the runway. The runway is the show place. Okay. So we extended a runway from the stage. Sometimes you can just have a fashion show just on the stage of the auditorium, and that will suffice. However, when you're doing a major production like we did, we needed to extend our reach into the audience and really bring it to life for them. So there were stage or runway pieces that were created specifically to fit to our stage in the auditorium. As you can imagine, they were, I think there were 4x8s. I believe that's how big they were. Maybe they weren't. I can't remember. But they were like 4x8 pieces, and we had like about 6 of them that were created by our construction magnet program. And those things were a monster to move from my classroom to the auditorium every single year. The custodial staff loved us. I mean, they did like me. I had a good relationship with them. But anyhow, just make sure that you have a good relationship with the people that you want to move those pieces to and from. Okay? Because I looked into the portable runway pieces that were collapsible. And those things cost thousands upon thousands of dollars. And we just didn't have that type of money in our program. So you definitely can look into that. It may be something that you want to, over the years, maybe purchase a piece at a time, or maybe your district has the money and they're willing to allocate it towards buying you collapsible stage pieces. Or you could rent them. That's another thing to consider, is to rent them. But like I said, we had ours constructed and we used those pieces every year, and they were sturdy and they've lasted throughout the years. And all we had to do was just put a little black curtain around them, or black fabric around them, to hide all the, you know, crisscross pieces that supported the runway pieces. So yeah, have them constructed, purchase, or rent them. Just make sure you get your runway that's going to be suitable for your fashion show. Now let's talk about the configuration. Now the configuration wasn't necessarily just the stage manager's responsibility, but the stage manager was tasked with coming up with an idea of how the runway can be constructed. And then we will sit down and talk about it as a class. But it's their ultimate responsibility to draft the pictures of the runway pieces, of the runway setup, and then present it to the class. And then the class would discuss it and make a determination as to what they would do. And so you're saying configurations. What kind of configurations could you have? Well, you could do your runway in a T, which is very common, meaning that the models walk out on that leg part of the T, the one leg part that goes up and down, and then they then turn left once they get to the top of the T pose, then walk across the top of the T to the other end of the T pose, come back to the middle leg of the T, and then walk back onto the stage and off the stage. So that's a configuration. You have a T configuration. You have an I configuration without the top and the bottom, you know, horizontal legs. And then you have your U, which we use a lot. I mean, the T we used, between the T and the U were the two configurations that we mostly used. And then you can have an H, where there's two legs that are coming off of the stage onto the runway. And then you have that middle part that crosses, and it just allows for some creative choreography for the fashion show. But those are your common configurations. Of course, you could do any type of configuration that works for the theme and the production of your fashion show. Just know that you need to have all the pieces to put together to accommodate that configuration. Now, if your fashion show does not need a runway and the runway is the ground, then you have the freedom to configure your walk any kind of way that you want. I can tell you the longest runway that has been recorded was in Galleria Mall in Dallas, Texas, back in, oh my goodness, I want to say around 2016, 2014, that time frame. It was during Fashion's Night Out, which was a part of the whole kickoff of the Big Four Fashion Weeks that started in September. And they had a runway, quote, that went from one end of the mall to the other end of the mall. And the runway was basically this path that they had created. And I believe it was like a yellow path that they had created from, I think it was Nordstrom, one of the major stores in the mall, all the way to the end, to the other major store. And it just meandered along the different pathways in the mall. And there were points. I mean, the models had to walk from one end to the other end. And there were various points along the runway where they had DJs set up. They had chairs and couches set up and little points where they were serving food, like, you know, little snacks and drinks and things of that nature. And the model is walking this one runway the whole time. And it's just on the floor with a little yellow path that the model had to walk. And it was very interesting. It was very nice. So you could walk through the mall and you can see the model at various points, whether that model was beginning their walk, almost at the end of their walk, in the middle of their walk. Needless to say, it was just a very long walk, but that was the configuration that they used. And it was a very entertaining thing. And it brought out a lot of people because, you know, everybody wanted to see the longest runway walk in the world. So it was pretty fun. And I just say that to say that your configuration can be whatever it is that you want it to be. You just need to be able to accommodate what it is that you come up with. And that is the runway. Now, the last part of the responsibility for the stage manager is ensuring that the fashion show is captured on video and in picture. Now, we had two magnet programs. One was photography, the other was audiovisual, and we collaborated with them to have our fashion show captured. I have years of video and I have a gazillion pictures that were captured from the fashion show. Tons of video and pictures. So anyway, you can check with your school to see if there is a art class that could do photography, or if the yearbook could do photography, or if you have an audiovisual program that could do it, or maybe the district, if not your school, maybe the district has the availability of a department that could do that for your program, for your fashion show. Now, you could also enlist the team members from the stage management team to capture the video of the fashion show, and as well as maybe even the photography, because these iPhones work really well with capturing video and pictures, as well as the other brands as well, because I'm telling you, some of the other brands capture picture better than Apple. But anyway, I digress. So you could use your students, but you know, most times you want to have this professionally done, because for me, it was an archive of the programs that we did over the years, the productions that we did over the years. So I enjoy having that professional video as well as professional photography. And those can be used for promoting your program. Now, my program was one that the students had to interview for, and they had to have a certain grade average in order to be accepted. So we used this as a promotional tool for our students. We would, during our open house, or even when we had our magnet fairs, we would run the video at the fashion shows. We would have all these wonderful pictures to show from our fashion shows that just served as a wonderful tool for recruitment. So that's also something that you could consider when you're capturing the video and the pictures of your fashion show. It also serves as great artifacts to go along with your program to show your admin, hey, this is what my program is doing. You know, help us to get the right students into my class, you know, because these are the wonderful things that we're doing. So it also just serves as a great resource to show your admin and your counselor so they can fill your class up with the right kids, okay? And not the ones who they just put there because they needed to fill that period on their schedule. Those are the five things for the stage manager to be tasked with. That's music, props, stage setting, runway, and capturing the show by video and picture. All right, so that concludes spotlighting stage coordination in fashion. And just be sure to tune in to the next week of production of the episode Mastering the Production Series for a Fashion Show, because we're going to keep this thing rolling, and you won't want to miss it. We only have 3 more episodes. All right. See you then. I do thank you for tuning in to Marketing Adventure with Jackie Walker. Have a wonderfully blessed day. Thanks for listening to Marketing Adventure. Remember to subscribe, rate, review, and share this episode with someone you think would benefit from the information shared here today. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, find me on Instagram at Marketing Adventure. All links and resources discussed in this episode can be found in the show notes at marketingadventure.com.